compassion does something. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today, is compassion. So please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and your support. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that we receive, even though on a daily basis we do things that go against your will for us. But Lord, when we come to you with an open heart and we repent of our sins, Lord, you bless us and you forgive us and you continue to love us. And we thank you for that. But Lord, I thank you for allowing us to live in a world that is free of persecution, where we can come together in a building like this and freely talk about you and praise you and sing about you and teach about you. But Lord, one of the reasons why we're able to do that is because of the men and women that are willing to stand up and fight for our freedom. And Lord, that's what tomorrow is about. So Lord, I thank you and I praise you for the men and women that have lost their lives to secure our freedom so that we can be a Christian. And Lord, we thank you for the courage of the men and women that are currently serving to protect our freedom. Lord, you give them the heart and the courage to stand up against our enemies, and we thank you. So Lord, I pray as I speak today that it's your words, not mine, that you hear. In your name we pray, amen. So today I'll be speaking about compassion, and I'll show a few examples of compassion Jesus had for others. Pastor Josh has been teaching about being rooted in all aspects of a Christian life. This is not necessarily a continuation of his series, but what I like to say, a bonus fry. When you hear the word compassion, what comes to your mind first, and what do you think is required of us to be compassionate? Compassion requires us to get involved and to do something for others. Compassion means that we will probably have to put our own needs on hold in order to be compassionate. I am just an ordinary guy who was 49 years old, and it took me about 45 years to realize that I have a heart for compassion. Being a compassionate person isn't as easy as waking up one day and saying to yourself that I am going to be a compassionate person. That'd be like most of us waking up one day and deciding to go parachuting. This would require each of us to research and to find a trusted location that offers parachuting, renting the equipment and plane, actually showing up to the location, boarding the plane, and when you hear the instructor open a door and you hear the words jump, you freeze and you make a decision not to jump. Becoming compassionate, a person is no different. It may require you to get to know someone that you wouldn't normally associate with. And you will, in many cases, find yourself in a situation that you don't know what to do. How has compassion impacted your lives? And have you ever prayed in your prayer time and asked Jesus to use you and your talents to better serve others in their time of need? I am associate pastor of compassion here at The Well. My passion is praying for others, home and hospital visits. I don't find myself wanting to preach to a congregation every Sunday. And quite frankly, as you can see, it scares me to death to preach in front of people. Josh, our senior pastor, is very passionate about preaching, and yet Josh is lacking the passion for community care. Does that make him or I any less of a pastor than the other? Absolutely not. It just means that God is using us in different ways because of the talents that he's given us. God has led me to this point in my life, and I must trust in the fact that God is leading me to preach for a reason. And I'm not quite sure what that reason is yet. And I have always believed God existed, but I haven't always lived my life as a believer in God. My wife and I found ourselves in a desperate situation about 6 years ago when she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. I reached out to the men in our men's prayer group, and we started asking for God to heal. And God, being the one true healer, answered our prayers and took the cancer away. This was a start to an amazing journey through God's will for me. Now, if someone would have asked me about 10 years ago if I saw myself being a pastor, I probably would have said, are you nuts? God will place us in a situation that will get your heart beating rapidly, scare you half to death. But one thing is for sure, if you trust in the Lord, you take his hand, he will walk through you with it, and you will come out on the other side unscathed. What does compassion mean? Well, I'm going to show my age and go old school here. I looked up the word compassion in the Webster Dictionary. Younger kids are probably asking parents right now, what's Webster Dictionary? I thought it was called Google. Webster's definition is literally suffering with another, a sensation of sorrow, excited by the distress or misfortunes of another, pity and commiseration. What does the Bible say about compassion? In the King James Bible, the word compassion appears over 40 times. The word compassion was translated in the Bible to mean have mercy, to feel sympathy, and to have pity. We know that according to the Bible, God is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Psalms 86, verse 15. Like all of God's attributes, his compassion is infinite. His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Lamentations 3, verse 22 through 23. Jesus is full of compassion. Jesus was perfect in every possible way and free of sin. The sin we were born with, dating back to Adam and Eve when they sinned mankind's first sin. The life Jesus lived on earth was not tainted with jealousy or immorality as our lives are. Jesus was righteously pure and full of positive faith. He was doing the will of the Father who sent him to save mankind. Matthew 20, verse 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Jesus, being perfect, had pure, unselfish motives when he felt compassion towards others. Unlike his children of this world, Jesus cared more for our lives than he did his own. The Lord has proven to us that he loved us more than we will ever know. He died a dreadful death on the cross that was designed for thieves and murderers. So what more could he have done to prove his love and compassion for us? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, exemplified all of his Father's attributes, including his compassion. When Jesus saw his friends weeping at Lazarus' grave, he felt compassion for them and wept alongside them. Moved with compassion for the suffering of others, Jesus healed large crowds who came to him. I could go on for hours and not be able to show all the examples of compassion God had for others. How many of you here today realize that without the Lord's compassion, you would not be sitting in this room today? Why? In Genesis 3, also known as the fall, we see Adam and Eve alone in the Garden of Eden. Eve is face to face with the serpent as he convinces Eve that it's okay to eat the fruit that God forbidden them to eat, who in turn convinces Adam that the fruit is okay to eat. Once God realized what he had done, being disappointed, he could have easily ended Adam and Eve's time on earth and started over. However, God being full of compassion and love, accepted their mistakes, and because of their sin, he banished them from the garden and decided to punish them by making their life on earth tiresome and difficult. I think you could say this is God's way of showing tough love, but he did continue to love and support Adam and Eve. We should be very thankful that in Psalms 103, verse 8, David tells us the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Luke 10, chapter 25 through 37, tells us this. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up and tested Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied, and how do you read it? He answered, love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down on the same road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came in the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you of any extra expenses you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him, Jesus told him. Go and do likewise. I find it truly amazing to see how compassionate people can become in the midst of tragedy. We have seen so much devastation all over the world that ultimately took the lives of many, and yet the people of that nation picked themselves up and helped others cope with their losses and being there for the people. And this brought the nations closer together, and yet over time, when healing begins, people seem to fall back in their busy lives. We have to hurry to get to this meeting. Families with multiple kids have multiple places to be after school, and so the hustle and bustle puts God and everyone else on the back burner. Jesus compassionately understood people's feelings. Matthew 14:14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Jesus was motivated to win souls. Why? Because of compassion. John 15:12-14, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friend if you do what I command. We have to be willing to lay down our lives for others. I don't think God is necessarily talking about taking a stray bullet for a stranger. However, he is talking about our willingness to stop and put our own wants and needs on hold to help others serve. No one person should be left on this earth that did not have the chance to make a decision to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let me repeat that. No one person should be left on this earth that did not have the chance to make a decision to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Nothing in our lives should ever be more important than that quest. Christians claim to love our fellow mankind. We go through life being hurt by family, friends, and strangers. So no matter how badly we get hurt and wounded, we must never stop loving each other. We must continue to trust in the Lord's commandments and forgive and forget. Have you ever been sitting in an ICU waiting room and witnessed complete strangers offering comfort to someone that they had just received bad news? The boundaries that we face out in the world, such as race, religion, male or female, young or old, seem to disappear within the confinements of an ICU waiting room. Why? I feel it's because there is no time constraints in the waiting room, and that allows us to see other people in their time of need, to see the look of concern on their faces, and we feel drawn to them in hopes of being able to comfort them and help them cope. I would like for you to view your current circumstances in your life as if you are sitting in a waiting room. If you've ever been one of the unfortunate people sitting in the waiting room, you could have been alone. You're probably scared. All the emotions can and will flood your mind, and in some cases, you may be facing this alone. Who in your life could use compassion? If we were to start to live our lives as people are in an ICU waiting room, we would witness more compassion in this world. We all struggle with different problems and issues throughout our lives. What may seem like a minor issue for one person could be a devastating issue for someone else. Erwin McManus is one of my favorite Christian authors. In his book, The Barbarian Way, he tells us this: Jesus beckons his followers to a path that's far from the easy road. It's a path filled with adventure, uncertainty, and unlimited possibilities. The only path that can fulfill the deepest longings and desires of our heart. This is the barbarian way. To give your heart to the only one who can make you fully alive. To unleash the untamed faith within. To be consumed by the presence of a passionate and compassionate God. To go where he sends us, no matter the cost. As we keep Luke 10 in mind, I would like to bring our attention to four principles concerning compassion. Number one, compassion can be lacking even in a good, church-loving people. First of all, the lawyer wanted to justify himself in verse 29. We are led to believe that he was a religious man because he quoted Deuteronomy 6:5, "Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." This shows us that the lawyer understood God's commands. The lawyer simply wanted to test Jesus. He wanted to trick Jesus into saying something that he could use against him. He had hoped to get Jesus to elevate one commandment over the other in the law of Moses, but instead, Jesus turned the questions around on him and asked, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" I kind of get the impression that the lawyer, with his intelligence, didn't really want to help his neighbor. He just wanted to discredit Jesus. I also like to draw your attention to the fact that the priest and the Levite, both known for their religious piety, chose to just pass by on the other side. By attending to the man's wounds could have made them ceremonially unclean. The uncleanliness was more concerning to the priest and Levite than showing compassion to the wounded man, even though they both saw him. My friends, compassion does something. Compassion does not and will not pass by on the other side. When the World Trade Center was attacked, what would have happened to the handicapped person on the 82nd floor if a good Samaritan wouldn't have been willing to take a chance to carry the person to safety? Compassion did something. My friends, our religion does not make us a compassionate. Compassion must be cultivated, and it is cultivated when we do something. You may be thinking to yourself right now, "I don't know what to do." My answer to you is do something. Get involved. Number two. We all love and care about our family and friends. And yet, we love to just mention until I really messed this one up. We all love and care about our family and friends, and yet love is just, what I'm trying to get at here is, if we don't love each other, if we don't take care of each other, then, you know, compassion just becomes, you know, a routine in our life. We have to include, you know, compassion. We have to include love, faithfulness. Mark 2, verses 1 through 5. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. So man came, bringing to him a paralyzed man. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Compassion did something. I would like to take a closer look at verse 33. There are some interesting things about the Samaritan. The Jews hated him. We discovered that he was on a journey, and when most people are on a journey, it would be an inconvenience to suddenly stop and show compassion. The need for compassion seems to always appear when we are on a mission or very busy. The Samaritan not only stopped, he also showed pity for the man. The Samaritan came upon him or stumbled across him, but the fact of the matter is People back then didn't have to look hard to find someone in need, and the same holds true today. The man lying beaten and naked in the road could have been Jewish, he could have been a Samaritan enemy, but being full of compassion, the Samaritan did something. I came across a story of compassion as I was researching this, and the story is about a fifth grade class in Lake Elementary School in Oceanside, California. The class had 14 boys, and not one of them had hair. Ian Gorman was undergoing chemotherapy for lymphoma and had no choice as to whether he had hair or not because of the chemo was causing his hair to fall out. So he chose to shave his head. 10-year-old Kyle Henslick, being full of compassion, but not really old enough to see it as compassion, chose to help the good friend out by convincing the other 12 boys to go with him and have their heads shaved as well in honor of their classmate. Kyle told the other boys the last thing he would want is to not fit in. Ian's father, Sean, while choking back his tears, talked about what the other boys did for his son. He simply said, "It's hard to put the words to Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ." Compassion does something. Number three, compassion takes time. We already determined that the Samaritan was on a journey. And what that journey was, we don't know. We do know, however, that it took the time to stop and apply oil and bandages to the wound. He placed the man on his donkey and took him to the inn to stay with him for the night. Keep in mind, back then, a journey could have taken days to get to their destination. Unlike today, we can climb into our cars and be somewhere in a matter of minutes or hours. So the fact that the Samaritan took the time to help the person shows us how God can use compassion to change people's lives in order to help others. We all waste a lot of time, don't we? Time on this earth is slipping away. How many of you here today realize that the only thing that matters is eternal things? 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Not our houses or our cars or our money are as important as eternal things. The Bible states that our lives are like a vapor, then they are gone. All parents want their kids to succeed in life and for them to be part of all the extracurricular activities that the kids want to be a part of. And in some cases, parents want their kids to follow in their own footsteps. Parents will put their own lives on hold just to be able to transport our kids all over God's green earth. But what does that truly gain us and our kids? Where does God fall in all this busyness that we place ourselves in? I personally don't want to find myself in a situation where I'm lying in a hospital bed fighting for my life. And I start thinking to myself, did I do enough? What if I helped others more than I did? I imagine it's kind of like this, that when God returns to earth and we are made to stand before God, he will replay our entire life while on earth. And to have Jesus suddenly hit the pause button and he asked me, why didn't you do more for that person? Why didn't you help out in that situation? What do you think your reply would be? How active is your passion becoming, or how active is your compassion? Because compassion does something. Number four, compassion costs something. I want you to ponder for a moment. The Samaritan was on a journey, and it probably wasn't a journey to the local Walmart to get a loaf of bread, because 2,000 years ago, a journey typically meant a person was traveling a long distance. The Samaritan didn't know this person at all. Now, I don't need to see a show of hands, but how many of you here today will keep driving by when you see someone sitting alongside the road needing a ride? Or their cars broke down. We hear the stories of people picking up strangers and helping them out. The stranger robs them and takes their car. It's a very scary and dangerous place we live in. Well, my dear friends, it was no different 2,000 years ago, except there wasn't no cars to steal, only donkeys. The Samaritan went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. The fact that the Samaritan had readily available costly oils and wine could have been the reason why he was on the journey in the first place. He may have been on his way to the town to sell the goods, and yet he chose to stop and assist the helpless stranger. Compassion did something. He picked the person up, put him on his own donkey, took him to a local inn. The Samaritan chose to stop what he was doing and spent the night caring for the wounded person. Why? Because compassion does something. The money that spent was an unexpected expense and a delay in his arrival time. I don't think debit cards were quite thought of just yet. The next day, the Samaritan gave the innkeeper the equivalent of 2 days' wages for continued care that the wounded person may require, and also informed the innkeeper that he would repay for any other acquired expenses when he returned from his journey. This became a costly journey for the Samaritan. I'd like to point out one important side note here. We must be very careful. The giving of our resources is not a substitute for our own involvement. I have known people that saw the need for both financial and physical labor, but chose to send money only. Now, don't get me wrong, because I am sure the money was very useful, but just imagine if everyone that donated money had also donated some physical labor. For example, when Katrina wiped out thousands of coastal homes and businesses, what could have been accomplished if more people had donated physical labor as well? I would encourage everyone to be reading 1 John 3, verse 17. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? I feel this is one of the most convicting passages of the entire Bible. Now, I'd like to share my own example of compassion for you before I conclude my sermon. I think more men and women could relate to this, but I'm sure there may be some women that would be saying, I did that. I went to Warren Elementary. The building is still there, but is now a civic center. We had a classmate, and his name was David. He was overweight for his age and height and was this way his entire life. I look back now and see just how caring David was. But being a bit shy, I chose to be like everyone else just to fit in. We picked on and tormented David probably every day of his school career. This went on throughout most of our school years, and David passed away in July of 2013. I remember coming up to a vehicle several months prior to David's passing, stalled at a stop sign, and I was just about ready to get out. And the car started and pulled away, and I could see the reflection in the mirror, and I saw that it was David. Now, I hadn't seen David since graduation in 1984. And that got me to thinking what I had been doing to David when we were in school. And there was a second time I came up to an intersection, and the car pulled up, and it was David. And right then I got to thinking, okay, God's trying to tell me something here. But I don't know what it is yet. And so a little bit more time passed by, and I'm at the grocery store, and I'm standing in the potato chip aisle, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what kind of chips do I want? Because I really don't need them, but I wanted them anyways. And David walked up beside me, and I looked at him. I said, hi, David. I said, do you remember who I am? He says, yeah. He says, you're Jimmy Hippen still. And now I'm 49 years old, and I'm still known as Little Jimmy Hippen still, but I guess you never outgrow with some things. But David chose his chips, and he walked away. And some of the older crowd here probably can remember this a little bit more, but did you ever have your parents kind of cuff you in the back of the head because you were doing something wrong, and you know it kind of woke you up? And I'm pretty sure God, at that very moment, God slapped me in the back of the head and pointed as David was walking away. And so I stopped David, and I said, David, I really want to apologize for everything that I've done to you. He goes, what do you mean? I said, David, you know that we were rough on you, and I want to apologize for that. And he thanked me, and I just seen this big smile come onto his face. And unfortunately, about a month later, I had read where David had passed away. But, you know, I can't imagine what would have happened if I would not have taken God's warning. You know, the outcome would have been a whole lot different. I probably would have felt shame, you know, and I would have been beating myself up because I would have missed that perfect opportunity. As I've been saying, compassion does something. It opens our eyes to our past behavior and allows us to see how it can affect the people we have hurt. I believe that the simple things in life is how God derives pleasure from his children. What we have just learned from 1 John 10 is not something we experience in everyday lives. Most of us will never discover a naked or beaten man or woman in the street. That is an extreme example showing compassion. However, showing compassion can be as simple as opening a door for the elderly. We witness people struggling physically with something, yet we choose to walk by. Compassion tells us to stop and lend them a hand because we all know many hands make light work. I don't want to scare anyone, but be careful for what you pray for. I want everyone to understand that God knows what's best for us, and if we ask God to start using us to better serve others, you may very well find yourself outside your comfort zone. You may not become a pastor in your late 40s and find yourself standing on a stage preaching God's word like me, but rest assured, God will stretch you and use your talents to serve him. Earlier I mentioned that if you choose to become more compassionate, you may find yourself in a situation you're not sure how to handle. I started volunteering as a chaplain at the Huntington Hospital on Fridays. Fridays is my day off, and I originally thought how nice it would be to have some well-deserved me time on Fridays. Well, guess what? God had other plans instead. God chose to have me work at the hospital. I have tried to explain one simple principle. Compassion does something. I pray that if you were asking yourself at the beginning of the sermon, I don't know what to do, that you now have a better understanding of what compassion is. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you have gifted us with a talent. Some of us know what that talent is, and some of us are still searching for that talent. But Lord, whatever it is, whatever you're leading us to do, I just pray, Lord, that you give us the courage to step in, go all out, put the fear aside, because we know, Lord, in our hearts that you will get us through it, and you will be there as we come out on the other side. Lord, we love you. We need you in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.